that's alive to give somebody a high five and tell them I'm a praiser. Now, if the music ministry, I call them the Levites because they have a Levitical anointing on them. If God used them to really bless you today, I want you to give God praise for the music ministry. Yeah, they're a blessing. Two passages of text I'm going to we're going to be in today, but first let's talk to the Lord. Let us go into prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for leading us in praise and worship. We thank you for drawing us out of our comfort zone into a praise and worship atmosphere, that you would be glorified and that we, your body, would be edified. We thank you, God, for being who you are. You are sovereign. You reign over everything. Therefore, we submit everything to you, the things we worried about, the things that tried to take up space in our mind. We surrender it all to you now, God, that we are sitting down at your table. We thank you for this invitation and giving us the wisdom to accept it by coming here today. Father, you created a hunger in us. Now that you created the hunger, come and feed us with your holy word. Father, as I stand here on holy ground, I submit my will unto you, God, asking, Father, that you would consecrate me only to be used, and that after all is said and done, Lord, that you alone will be glorified and you will receive all the praise and the honor. And we, your body, Lord, that we would be edified and become more like you and fall deeper in love with you. So your word is like a two-edged sword. It comes in cutting and comes out cutting. So come, Lord, cut us in the shape that you have called us to be, using your word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay, those of you with your Bibles, we're going to turn to John chapter 4, verse 23. This is a good party. Invite your friends next week. Them at the party. John chapter 4, verse 23. We there? Verse 23 reads, "The hour is coming, and now is." Say, it's time.
It's time.
"When the worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him."
Hallelujah.
Verse 24. "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Amen. Now turn to 2 Samuel, the Old Testament, chapter number 22. Those of you without your Bible, the word will be on the wall so you can read along with us. Verse number 1, the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel. And it reads, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." Has anybody ever been delivered?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
And he said, Lord, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah.
So shall I be saved from all my enemy. He says, I'll call upon the Lord because he's worthy to be praised. And when I call upon him and praise him, I get saved from everybody. Verse number 5. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. Get this. He heard my voice from his temple. And my cry entered his ears.
Hallelujah.
Then, somebody shout, then.
Yeah.
The earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because he was. I'm looking at that seventh verse when David cried in distress out to God. He said, he heard my voice and my cry entered his ear. And David was crying out of the spirit man because he was in love with God. And I want you to meditate on this when you think about praise. The power of a sincere praise. Tell your neighbor, say, make it sincere.
Make it sincere.
Amen. You may be seated. God is looking for the absolute, genuine praise that he put in you. God is looking for the sincerity of the heart, not how well you can praise, not how well you could think of a praise. God wants a genuine praise. He's not impressed by your neighbor's praise. He is not impressed by your mother's praise. God wants the praise that he put in you.
Amen.
God knows the difference between a sincere praise and a knockoff praise. If you don't want no Gucci knockoff, then don't give God no knockoff praise. Because God knows the difference. And God has put praise in you. And praise is a form of worship. That's why Jesus said those that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Which means that he's only drawing out what he put in. And if you're faking, he knows the difference from a faker. And there's people, don't get me wrong, that will show up to church to show off. There are some people that will come into the church because they did not get a role in Hollywood. And act it all out. You can fool a few of us sometime, but you will never fool God, no time. Because God knows the difference from a sincere praise and a knockoff praise. And listen, and you could even probably think back and do a self-examination when you wanted to fit in at the church and everybody else was getting their praise on. So you figured, let me get mine on too. But outwardly you were praising him, but inwardly you were murmuring and complaining. He tells the prophet Joel, rend your heart and not your garment. Inwardly, you got issues. And outwardly, you are trying to praise me, but I don't want that praise because it's a knockoff. In this particular text, it is David himself who is writing to us to encourage us while we're in distress. Because David is writing from a point of view, and he's writing from like Psalms 18, and that's a psalm of praise while he's in distress, because here's the key, he believed that God would help him. You know, it's something that I watch people, and I try to pay attention to people, and I look at the characteristics of people, and I was watching this lady. And she was pushing a basket, and she pushed past the kids, only to get to an adult, and I'm walking this way following her. She pushed past the kids, only to get to the adults, and she began to ask the adults to help her. And so she was asking for money. She wasn't asking the children because in her mind, I believe she didn't believe they could help her. But because she believed that the adults could help her, she began to ask them if they would help her. The ones that she asked, I seen the man reach in his pocket and gave her some money. I'm saying all of that because we from time to time will go here and there and ask because we think people can help. But you need to know this. God could help you with anything at any given time. And just because you ask him, that's a praise unto him. So then, there's things that you know that I can never help you with. There's some stuff that the earth realm can never help you with. And the moment you begin to ask God, because he's the one that put you in the situation in the first place, when you begin to ask God, that is a praise unto God. And a lot of time we hold back from asking God, because we say God knows what we need. But God is built upon relationship. And so God wants you to talk to him. Yes, he knows what you need, but he's big on relationship. And when you begin to talk to him, that opens the line of communication. So then he knows you have an ear to hear from him because you are talking to him. Amen. This particular text, David has been fighting and he's been in a battle. And he has finally got victory. He won the battle. Amen. He finally whooped all the Philistines. Do you remember back in chapter 17 of first chapter, the giant was coming against God's people and David went out with a slingshot and a rock and whooped them? These same giants are coming after David. David is now grown old. The Bible said he's tired. Can you imagine? How many of you are tired of the same old giant messing with you? Just when you feel like you got that joker whoop, here come his cousin. Look just like him. They must be identical cousins. somebody in the family that's coming at you, and you think, oh, that giant's finally out of my life. And you say, I'm just moving right along, and all of a sudden, it seems like the same thing hits you. He's like, haven't I met you before? And so David's going into battle, and the Bible talks about they go into this battle, and David grows tired. And wow, it's almost like the enemy always knows when you're just tired. How many of you sick and tired of being tired?
Hallelujah.
You know, I watch the teenagers a lot, and it seems like they got these friends that just drive them nuts. They call them friends, I call them foes. But they got these folks in their life, and then they be talking and be driving them crazy, and then they're all good. And then the next week they say, oh man, what's wrong? So-and-so, it's again. It seemed like the same old thing just hitting them over and over. And every time they think they got it together, the next week, same old thing. And then they walking around with an attitude because the same giant keeps showing up in their life. The reason why it keeps showing up is because you keep feeding them. Giants like to eat. And what do they eat? They eat junk. And if you keep feeding them junk, they're going to keep showing up again and again. So it's not time for you to give them truth instead of giving them junk. What truth? Bring those jokers to church, and I guarantee you they'll stop getting on your nerves. David, he goes into battle. The Bible says he's battling the Philistines, and when he gets to the 22nd chapter, he's so excited because of what went down in the 21st chapter. And so I want to go back to the 21st chapter so you'll know just a little bit of what went down. Y'all ready? Just put two verses up there. Put 16 and 17 on the board of chapter 21, 2 Samuel 21. It says, then Ishbi Benob, who was one of the sons of the giant. So one of his sons, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David because David was tired. Then Ishbi Benob, go to 17. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Listen, David was tired. The Bible said he grew faint. And so this giant, the son of Goliath, came with a 7-pound spear and a brand new sword to kill him. The Bible said he thought he was going to kill him. Somebody say, but. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and killed him. Now here, with my sanctified imagination, get this. Abishai really means gift from God.
Amen.
So when the enemy thought he was going to kill him, the gift from God came down and killed it. Whereby when the enemy thought he had you up against the ropes, you know, when you were strung out in the world doing all that you were doing, he thought he had you and was going to kill you, but the gift of God named Jesus came down and killed the enemy and saved you and gave you victory in every area of your life. Now, the problem is, most of us are not like David. You don't believe that you have victory in every area of your life. But we're going to see a little bit later on, you got it already. You just got to know it. And listen, if you know you got victory, every time I've seen anybody win anything, they're happy. You get it. That's why he said even with a football game. We watch football, and if your team win, you happy. That's why I don't care who wins. My team is the winner.
That's right.
Because I'm going to be happy at the end of the game. Because I made up my mind, I like being happy.
Yeah.
And people say, you a traitor. Call me what you want to call me. I'm a winner.
Yeah.
And I'm happy.
That's right.
The song said, if you're happy and you know it, then your face will really show it. And they get mad at me being happy. You better join me.
Right.
Don't fight them, join them.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, he shows up, he kills them. Now get this, you can take it down. Because after he kills the first brother, the first son, the second son comes up on him. And his other swordsman came and killed him. There was four of those jokers. There was four big old giants. The first three, all of them, the son, and then his brother. And then the fourth one that came, I don't even know how he was related because the Bible doesn't tell it. But the Bible says he had six fingers.
Amen.
And six toes, 24 in all. And he was huge. And they killed him.
Amen.
And so David got happy. And he went into the 22nd chapter. And began to tell God how happy he was. Now get this. Have God ever given you victory? Do you remember when he saved you?
Come on.
You were so happy. You didn't care who looked at you. How can you come to church now that you all saved for a year? So-and-so didn't look at me and didn't even speak. Who cares if they spoke or not? What does that have to do with anything? I'm delivered. How about that? And just being delivered alone should make you want to praise God. Now, I want to talk to the people that know they got delivered from some stuff. Now, if you're one of those ones that lived that squeaky clean life and only told one little lie.
That's a lie.
Don't know nothing about a club or a drink or a smoke. If you're one of them, don't pay no attention to what I'm saying today. But if you're one of the ones that happened to get into a little something and you know it was God that brought you out, you're the one that God sent me by to talk to today, because you're the one that has a praise that he put down in you, that he wants out of you. David. He begins to write, and I like when he gets down to this seventh verse, he says, in my distress, put it on the wall, in my distress, I call on the Lord, and he heard my cry. Now get this, when I was a kid, I was always told, stop crying, boy. Men don't cry. I believed that lie until I got saved. And tears was just coming out of my eyes, and I couldn't stop crying. And nobody was telling me to stop anyway. I know now that there's different types of crying. And when I was crying then, that was between me and God. As a matter of fact, I saw myself as Mary, my tears were falling on his feet.
Amen.
And if my hair was long enough, I would have wiped it up with my hair. When I found out that real men cry, I started bragging. I'm a cry baby.
That's right. That's right. I'm his baby.
Where are you going? I'm going to church so I could cry.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, at home, and I'm in worship, and I'm just crying. The kids said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Everything's right."
That's right.
I'm a cry baby. Do I have any cry babies in here?
Come on, man.
Let's check it out. David says this. David's a man after God's heart. It says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord." Listen, and cried out to God. Now, when I looked at that, he said, he cried out. Now, it doesn't mean that we always have to shout out. Because you could cry in. There's a whole lot of times you cried and don't nobody know about it except you and God.
That's right. That's good.
But let me help you. That cry was between you and God. That was helping you. But don't be selfish, because when you cry out, it helps everybody around you. Do you know that your cry out to God, when it's vocal, it helps everybody. Now watch the text. "In my distress, I cried out to God, and he heard my voice from his temple, and my tears entered his ear." He said, "I cried out." Now, it entered his ears. Go to the next verse. We'll come back to that one. "Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken." Now, wait. So wait. He heard his voice, and the earth shook. Heaven shook. Now, get this. In the New Testament, Paul and Silas got arrested. Amen. When they got arrested, they beat them to the point that they didn't have enough strength to put their foot in the shackles, so the guards had to help them put their feet in the shackles. While they were locked up in prison and beat half to death, the Bible said they did not say, "Oh, Lord, why did you let me get here?" They didn't do that. The Bible said they started singing praises and praying unto God. And they weren't singing like this because the other prisoners heard them. They were singing praises to God. And the Bible says when they began to sing praises to God at midnight, the earth quaked, the ground shook, and it wasn't only about them, because it was coming out so loud that their shackles got loose, and every prisoner that was in jail, shackles got loose because of the praise of two men. I'm talking about a sincere praise. See, because most of us wait until something good happens, and then we want to praise. Because we don't really understand what praise is. We think praise is jumping and shouting and saying hooray, but that's not praise. When you call on the name of the Lord in your distress, that is praise.
Amen.
Because you're telling God, "I know you have the solution to what I'm going through." That's why I'm crying to you, Daddy. Because Daddy always takes care of his children.
Amen.
Go back up there. In my distress, he said, he heard. Listen, he heard. Now, that would have been good enough for me if God just hears me. As a matter of fact, this is the confidence that I have in approaching God, that he hears everything that I have to say.
Amen.
How many of you know that God loves you?
Hallelujah.
Now check this out. How many know he likes you too?
Hallelujah.
No matter what you go through, I've come to a solidness that God likes me. As a matter of fact, I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite. That's why I could care less who looks at me crazy when I'm praising him. Call me a nut if you want to. I'm nuts about Jesus. I'm nuts about me some Jesus. Why? Because I know it's Jesus that's holding me together.
That's right.
Now he had cried out in his distress, and he heard his voice in the temple. Now get this. It says, and it, his cry entered. It went in. Do you ever go to a door and it says enter? That has no significance if you stay outside. What good is a door that says enter that you don't go through? And so when it goes in, it changes everything. And so it says the cry came in. God is so big on relationships. Do you know that he says that we all must come to know him for ourselves? You got to know God for yourself. Amen. Knowing God and knowing of God is two different things. In order to know God, God has to come into you. So he sends his spirit in you. Therefore, you have every spiritual blessing. Therefore, you have spirit and truth in you. God is spirit. Jesus is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you got spirit and truth inside of you already. And so God don't want what's in your crazy head to worship or praise him. He wants the spirit in your heart, the heart of the man, the spirit that's already in you. He wants what he put in to come out of you. Does there anybody in here have what God put in ready to release it out so God can be glorified from what he put in you? You holding all that praise inside of you with your greedy self. He gave it to you so you could give it back to him. You are filled with praise. You're loaded. You got so much praise, you look like a balloon right now in the spirit. Just like this. Let it out. Give God a praise. He said, now he comes in to us. That means we come to know him. Say, I know him. When he's in you, that means he knows you. It's a connecting thing that you have to go in. And that's why when we were singing, they were talking about our walls coming down. You know, it's almost like the walls of Jericho coming down and the people stand on the outside of it. There's no effect unless you go in. That's where the worship is, going in. Tell your neighbor, just go in.
Just go in.
I know you got a good glimpse of God right where you are, but God wants you to come closer. Here's the issue. The closer you get to God, the hotter it gets. Because God is refining you. He's lighting you up so that you can glow like him. You said you want to behold his glory. God says, the closer you get to me, I'm going to light you up. Like when Moses came down from the mountain, people are going to look and see you and say, oh, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. He cried. He cried. He cried out. And it entered the ear of God. We got to see a picture of Jesus coming to the rescue when the enemy was about to kill David. And he came to the rescue when the enemy thought he had you. And we're tilting around, wondering, are we going to win or not? You're going to win. That's what God wanted me to know. You already won. Hey. Hallelujah. Thank you. Why? How do you know, Pastor? Matthew 27:50. That's it. And Jesus. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
There's something about that name.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah, do you understand that the name itself Amen. Is praise? Praise. There's power in that name.
Amen.
Do you know he's crying out to God?
Amen.
When you cry out to God, God hears you.
Yes,
the Bible said the earth will shake. Huh? Do you remember when David person killed him, and David, now God's mad?
Come on now.
God's mad.
Come on now.
after David's man, he didn't cry it out. God didn't got mad.
Come on now.
I said, why God mad? They didn't kill the enemy. I looked again. I said, oh, David is his son. I thought for a minute. If a giant was to try to kill Armani, and I got word that a giant was messing with my son, I would go, where is he? They say, he dead. I get that, but where he at? Because I got to kill him again. Because there's something about when somebody messes with your child. It stirs up the Lion of Judah. And that's how I understood. God said, oh, I'm mad because they had the audacity to mess with one of mine. So it angered God. What am I saying? Anybody that comes against you, don't you get mad at them. God is already mad at him. You just give God a cry for help and watch God come to the rescue. Is there anybody in here that understands how powerful a cry is?
Hallelujah.
You know, I have a total of 6 children. And I'm going to tell you something about their cry. I know every one of their cries. You could put 10 people in the room and tell them all the holler, and I guarantee you I know which one is mine.
Amen. Amen.
Because I know the cry of my child. What am I saying? God knows the cry of his child. And when when my child cries, anybody ever have a child, the baby's crying, you just pick the baby up? And I didn't know why we did it until I read the scripture. Because when they cried out in the scripture, the Bible says he began to shake everything, heaven and earth. And when we pick up our child, for some reason, we just start shaking. Because there was power in the shake. You didn't know what you were doing, but you were really in the spirit realm trying to bring relief to your child. And that's what God does. He will pick you up and make sure that he brings relief to you. Let's close with this. Jesus, he cried out again with a low voice. Oh, that said loud. And yielded his spirit. In other words, his spirit was the inward man. And so he had to give the inward man. Because that's what God wants. He wants what he gave us. He wants us, our spirits, to connect spirit to spirit. And he cried out, next verse. Then, somebody say then. Behold, after he cried out, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now get this part. Why was it torn from top to bottom? Because if it wasn't, we couldn't go in. And God says, you got to come in for me to have the full effect. And when it was torn, it says, the earth quaked. And the rocks were split. Let's go. And the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Wait a minute. Let's get this for a minute. When Jesus cried out, it had such an effect that the earth quaked. Do you remember when Jesus was coming in and the people were shouting Hosanna and they were telling him to shut up? And Jesus told him, hey, you better leave him alone, because if not, I'll make the rocks cry out. Amen. Jesus said he cried with a loud voice because there was some work that was being finished. There was some you and I that needed this work to be finished. He cried. He said the earth shook. And listen, he needed a praise. You ever hear the sound of a rock busting? Now that is a mighty loud noise. God says, I want praise so bad, ain't nobody here to praise because it looks like Jesus is coming to an end. Rock, where you at? I'll make a rock cry out. So the rocks exploded and gave a praise unto God. And listen, and graves opened up. What am I saying? God says, I'll go deep down in generations. If you praise me with a sincere praise, I'll go deep down. And the things that look dead, I'll resurrect them for you. But I'm talking about a sincere praise. He praised them to the point that when the praise went up, dead folks woke up. Because it was so sincere that it woke up the dead. I'm talking about supernatural praise. That's what you got in here. Supernatural praise. Your praise can change everything. Complaining keeps everything the same, but praise changes everything. And God wants you to be sincere about your praise. You don't have to fake it no more. You've already made it. God said, I'm going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all just for you because your praise is sincere.
Hallelujah.
Come on, give him a praise. When we look in the Bible, in 1 John, it says, whatever is born of God, whatever, it overcomes the world. If you have received Jesus, the Bible says you have overcome the world. Then it says, and you have victory, and this victory is your faith. You got to believe it. Because when you believe that no matter what comes against you, that God has an answer for you,
amen,
and he'll never let you be defeated because you are an overcomer,
amen,
your faith will make you praise. That's the praise that he wants, the one that's coming from faith. You know when it don't look like it's going to be work out for you?
Come on.
And you praise him anyway?
Yeah.
You know, I'm so happy today. Let me tell you this. I have joy that if you come sit down with me, you're going to need about 7 weeks for me to explain to you what I'm experiencing right now. I have a peace that has surpassed the understanding of my own self. I'm having an outer body experience right now. If I look different, it's because I am different. I'm in heaven right now. I'm a supernatural. And, oh, God. You got to be able to see it to believe it. And you'll never see it with the eyes that you have. But when you cry out to God, he will give you holy eyes so that you can see by faith. Close your eyes for a minute. I want you to see your situation changed. Now back up. Now see yourself changed. Because when God finished changing you, what he's showing you in the spirit is yours too. And God has given you victory in every area of your life. You've overcome everything else. And whatever he puts before you, you're going to overcome that too. And because of that, because you know that God is going to work out everything for you, he says, just praise me sincerely then. Yeah. If it hurts, tell me it hurts. If it doesn't, tell me thank you. But be sincere with your cry out to God, because that's what he wants from you. Your tears and your pain is being used to make you be the blessing he called you to be. While you're seated and while your eyes are closed, just put your hand over your heart. That's where the Spirit of the Lord dwells. He's come in, and he said, that's where I want your praise to come from. Because that's where your emotion of love is. And that's what he wants back. He wants to be your first love. Sometimes we say it, but we put other things on the agenda and then we put him at the bottom. But he says, just put me first and be sincere and watch me shake heaven and earth just for you. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, it may be somebody here that says, you know what? I want this relationship with Jesus.